are finally in season two of Take Me Away. It's exciting.
It is very exciting. We're excited to be back to have some new guests and new content coming out. And Today we're with Andrew Levine talking about poetry.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy who found his vibe writing some kind of free verse poetry. And you'll actually be able to see some of his published stuff in Inkscape magazine soon. So look out for that. Today we talked about writing poetry.
Yeah, we got into kind of that process for how to come up with poems, as well as how to refine and revise that until you've got something that you can share.
Yeah, and he also has some interesting opinions about fountain pens.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Well, Andrew Levine. I almost said Adam Levine because you said that at the end.
I've been called Adam Levine so many times. It's okay.
Well, yeah. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And we just wanted to jump right in. If you could walk us through a little bit, what got you serious and what got you into creative writing?
Yeah, so I started my freshman year of college in mechanical engineering. I've always loved to read and everything, but I didn't really think of myself as a writer. And I just had some great professors my freshman year, who both my literary professors as well as a creative poetry professor.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of just let me know, hey, you're not as bad at this as you think you are.
Oh, nice.
And that was enough encouragement for me to kind of take it and run with it and enjoy doing it. So I decided to flip everything around and go with the English literature major and try creative writing poetry.
That's awesome. It's nice to be validated.
Yeah.
You're
kind of
good at
this. It's a huge first step, yeah.
Sweet.
And so you mainly write poetry, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And if there's anything specific that kind of, like, helped you get into poetry, but also within poetry, where do you find those ideas and kind of what's your style within poetry?
Well, can I jump in? Why did you focus on poetry in the first place? I guess start from there.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good question. I think the reason I focused on poetry initially was it's short.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there's that parameter where you don't have to write for pages and pages and pages, even if you're doing, I mean, with fiction or nonfiction, short stories, of course there's flash fiction and things like that, but it is the self-contained kind of the brevity that really got me into it. And then what I fell in love with poetry was kind of the nuance and how much you can pack in to that. And basically, I kept feeling like I was failing at it. Uh-huh. But I kind of enjoyed that process of failing at it. And even now, anytime I go back to a poem, I always think, okay, that could be better. Okay, that could be improved. Okay, I'm failing still. But it was partly that process of trying to pack so much in, trying to add so many surprises or things like that, that really kept me going with the poetic process and really kind of made me want to continue.
Yeah.
It was exciting to keep failing in a weird way. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, so I guess, and then with writing, how do you settle on your poem that you're going to write? Like, this is it. I'm writing about mayflies.
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of a process of rumination.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I get an idea that I'm kind of excited about, I can tell I'm excited about it because I keep coming back to it. And typically anymore, the first time I come to it, it's not quite ready yet. It's not quite ripe yet. I'm not ready to kind of get that idea and really make something of it. But if I keep coming back to it over and over again, if it keeps kind of getting into my mind and I keep trying to write out a line here or there, or putting something in my notebook, or I'm sitting in class and something kind of comes up and sparks the idea again, when I keep coming back to an idea, I kind of know that I'm onto something. And then at some point it kind of all kind of just coalesces into that first draft, and I try to kind of get it all out there when it does in that moment. It doesn't always work very neatly, it doesn't always come together very much, and it never gets finished that way, but that's typically kind of how the process begins. It's just identifying an idea that I like coming back to over and over again.
What helps you finish the poem?
Yeah, revision, revision, revision. That is it. In fact, one of my professors always said, a poem is never finished, it is simply abandoned. And that's a quote from someone else. I can't remember who it all goes back to, but I feel like that all the time, is I don't really finish poems, I simply stop working on them.
Yeah.
Mm. And even then, I don't know if I'll ever come back to a poem and want to revise it again, but typically I don't ever feel like it's done. It's just done enough to send off,
yeah,
or done enough to tell someone, or done enough to show someone. And that's typically more how it works for me, is I kind of get to a point where I think, okay, it's ready to show someone,
mm-hmm,
or it's ready for me to say out loud.
Mm-hmm. And then with that, kind of what's your process like as you're coming up with ideas just to get started? Is it something where in the moment you're like just jotting down a line here and a line there, and then like you go back and piece them together? Or is it more like you're sitting and thinking of a memory and you're like, that is like, that keeps coming back to me? Like, is it more like in the moment you write something down and then you like revisit it? Or is it something that you feel like you're revisiting already and then you decide to write about it?
Yeah, typically it happens the second way more often. Usually I don't get too many lines out when I first kind of experience the moment, or
mm-hmm,
sometimes it's not always experiencing the moment. Sometimes it's more finding like the right image or the right object to write something about, or the right memory.
Yeah.
And usually I'll kind of keep coming back to that before any lines even meet the page. And so it's kind of more of a process of remembering and coming back to it over and over again that kind of helps that develop and build, kind of like a snowball rolling downhill,
yeah,
and picking, yeah, up a little bit as it goes.
Is there any other strategy you use to like hone your poetry? Like if you feel like it's getting too running away from you and you're just like, I'm not even finishing this, or what is there a strategy you use to?
Yeah. Sometimes I just give up on it if it's running away, honestly. Sometimes if it runs away too much from you, if it's getting to be too much, then I kind of just give up on it. And
yeah,
maybe even just like flip the page and try again or something like that. But typically what I try to do is when it's running away from me on that, I'm focusing on something too big.
Yeah.
Right? There are too, yeah, many sides to how, or too many things I want to express, right? There are too many things I want to express, or I'm trying to make the scene bigger than it is, or I'm trying to make it about,
yeah,
God and religion, or,
yeah,
I'm trying to make it these massive ideas when really it just needs to be focused on that one particular moment or that,
mm-hmm,
one scene. And I might be able to tie one of those things in with it, but I can't do all of it.
Yeah.
And
okay,
so typically what I have to do is I have to think to myself, okay, what's the most important thing? What's,
mm-hmm,
the thing I really want to connect with this image or this place or this memory? And I kind of have to limit it to just that one. And that helps me rein in a lot more of the topic or of the focus of that poem,
yeah,
than anything else.
And it sounds like it would help to make writing a poem more manageable to have that focus, especially because, like you said from the start, poetry is so short but also has so much nuance that it's like you can have a whole poem that's saying something, but it's like it's just one subject for so many lines, just like a different way. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
would you say you find like one image you like, and then that like narrows the focus, and then it's like, what does the poem become from there?
Yeah, usually it kind of starts with the metaphor, right? The larger,
mm-hmm,
metaphor. So putting two things in relationship to each other,
mm-hmm,
that excites me. So it might be like thinking of an animal associated with this emotion or something like that, or an object trying to say this to me or something like that. But whenever I start putting those things in relationship to each other, those two unlike things, the metaphor kind of helps carry me there and helps kind of make that an exciting process. That really helps me limit the scope of it as well. That's something I've been learning a lot recently, is limiting that scope to just those two key things,
yeah,
in relationship to each other, or maybe three if you really get lucky. Yeah.
In relation to that, just, well, sorry not to like keep beating it, but with your process, is it like you sitting down and like pounding away at a typewriter to like get out those lines, or is it like making a sketch, or you know, writing it down with your favorite pen or on the computer? Kind of what's that physical process that you use?
So I use a fountain pen. It took me a long time to decide on the fountain pen, actually.
Man, I want a fountain pen, actually.
Yeah, you should get one. They're great. I bought mine in London. That's the one I use. I refill it every 2 or 3 days. And
I wonder if you went to the same... You know, Neil Gaiman writes with fountain pens all the time.
I didn't know that.
That's his thing, too, is these fountain pens, and he's from England, so...
Yeah, maybe might be the same shop.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if it was. So, for me, it's all about unlined notebooks and fountain pens. That's the whole process there until I get to a stage of typing it out on the computer. That's more when it's kind of coming together, not for a final draft, but coming together to be a full poem.
So why do you like a fountain pen?
There's something about the feel of it. And I started with kind of calligraphy pens, and they kind of have like a scratchier feel.
Yeah.
They're a lot more... Well, I'm not very good at calligraphy, but I write in cursive, so it made my cursive look really nice, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one part, is just like kind of the visual thing of how it makes my writing look. And the other part is just once I started writing with a fountain pen, I loved the feel of it.
Hmm.
And really smooth, and it really kind of helps me interact with the page in a different way.
Nice. That's interesting, like making... having the aesthetic match your process. I've written with a fountain pen once when I was like in second grade, and I look at my old second grade notebook and it's just like bleeding ink all over the place.
Well, that's my notebooks now, so
like ink splotches.
Yeah,
it got better. They forced us, I was living in Belgium, they forced us to use fountain pens.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, what is this?
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, let's see. I want to ask this question. As a poet, because I find it interesting, I feel like right now people are more focused on, like, you know, if I want to make money writing, I want to write novels, or I'm gonna be published author and stuff like that. And so I want to hear from you, like, where you see poetry's relevance right now, and where you see it, I guess, carrying forward as someone that's been...
Yeah.
Deep in the poetry.
Yeah, I think poetry will always be relevant in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the especially fascinating part of poetry to me and its continuing relevance has always been the emotional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It is able to convey through rhythm, through feeling, through rhythm, I should say, through rhyme, through all these structures, a different kind of aural quality. This auditory quality that helps us experience it in a different way than we do with fiction or other things like that. And that doesn't mean there can't be poetic qualities in fiction or vice versa, right? Fictive qualities in poetry. But there's something about that emotional resonance that I think will always kind of be relevant with poetry. And even going forward, I think even with the Instagram poets, the Twitter poets, you see that. That's what people really connect with. Is that emotional resonance. Whether it's just a short line or some short thing, there's the emotional resonance. And I think no matter where poetry goes from here, as far as the tactile qualities of it, it's going to continue to try and maintain that emotional quality.
I'm biased, but so I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. But yeah.
No, I agree as well, but I also think it's interesting just with talking about, like, how poetry moves forward. Do you also have any, like, poetic idols or icons that maybe you look at either now or in the past that you want to, like, emulate some of your work off of, but, like, in a new way that moves poetry forward? Because it seems like poetry, not that it's dead, but it's, like, it's constantly re-evolving, and a lot of people struggle with older poetry to, like, understand or get into it, like you said. It's a very emotional thing. So is there any, like, older sources you draw from that still help your work, or that you would, like, want your work to bring something new to?
I love William Shakespeare. That's what I study, is Shakespeare.
Nice.
So Shakespeare is the guy, if you want the sonnets, right?
Yeah,
I mean, not the only guy who wrote sonnets, but
yeah,
the Shakespearean sonnet is a huge thing, right? And it's this big form. So I really do love the scope of how Shakespeare covers love, in particular emotions, all these things throughout the sonnets. It was kind of revolutionary for the time period, the way he was talking about these things. William Blake is another big idol of mine. I really do want to take on my own Songs of Innocence and Experience project and have the visual quality with the written word. That's a goal of mine someday, with the right project and the right poems. More recent poets that I really like, one that I really connected with was William Stafford. He's kind of just a great quality poet. He's not the most popular poet out there. Not everyone loves him, but there's something about the way he writes that's so genuine and real and kind of narrative that I really like about him. And I think I tend to fall into that trap of being a little too narrative in my poetry sometimes. So I'm trying to use more poets as examples to me of how to use these qualities. So I'm constantly kind of broadening my horizons. I think the poem I'm going to read for you is inspired by Amy Gersler, and she was a great inspiration for me in this one instance of poetry. And so for me, I think moving forward for my poetics is going to be finding my voice within that by kind of using the other poets as examples and trying to emulate what they do. I'm not quite sure where I'm going to land on that journey yet, or where I want to land even, but I know that that's going to be a key part of the process for me in the future.
Cool. Well, yeah. Well, thanks, Andrew, for joining us, and let's get into your piece.
Advice from a Mayfly. Defy the misconception that your life is short. Flail in liquid first, fail, shrug, stretch out of your skin, in restrained winters grow slowly, feast on overlooked scenes of algae, make subtlety your mantra, stone-colored in a world of pebbles. Find your feet. Break from your ancestors' imago, emerge twice. Skim into that first breath of air, sidle yourself into riverside maturity, prepare for love by losing your mouth, fast. Hover with nothing else in mind, mate, with your whole weight, though it barely breaks the surface of the water, die quickly, and let them see your life as only flight.
So that wraps up our first episode from season 2 with Andrew Levine, and he had some good insights on some poetry.
Yeah, I really liked how he talked about the importance of narrowing the scope of poetry, not trying to do too much in a single poem. It seems like that helps to add the power and the emotion that you need for good poetry.
Yeah. You talk about ruminating in that moment, and it the metaphor kind of carries you along, and not to have too many metaphors that will kind of bog down your process.
Yeah. I also really like that he talked about just the physical aspect of what he does. Obviously, like for him, we had some fun talking with him about fountain pens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. I think it's important. It's an important thing to consider, is matching your kind of your physical tools with the aesthetic that you're trying to find in your artistry of writing.
Yeah, I think there's something very useful with matching your process to what you're trying to create. You know, you're not going to sit down and handwrite a novel, but when you're trying to come up with like a really good line, a really good verse, maybe try pulling out a fountain pen, putting it to paper, just kind of slowing it down, having that more poetic feel.
And even writes in cursive, which I find interesting. I was like, who writes in cursive these days? I might have to try it.
Yeah, it sounds like a good tool to try out.
Yeah, so writing cursive, find that London shop for the fountain pen.